Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.
It's time to grow with the SEO queen. Get visibility like never before. Your traffic's gonna explode. It's time to grow with the SEO queen.
Profitability through inspiration, technology, and marketing insight. This podcast is for professionals and entrepreneurs who are looking to get more customers, clients, and patients. On Bashani Radio, iHeartRadio, and iTunes, Bashani Radio, always talking about everything from New York City. You can listen to the SEO Queen Tech Show on any mobile phone or tablet device. Also, as a thank you gift for listening to the SEO Queen Tech Show, you can go to SEOQueen.com and book a complimentary strategy session. Just go to SEOQueen.com and click on Speak to the SEO Queen and claim your Reach More Clients Power Session. So, today's guest is a phenomenal woman. She is an author, speaker, CEO, and a mindset coach. She helps expert coaches and service providers properly position their expertise to attract premium paying clients, increase their income, and eliminate burnout.
Yes.
Welcome, Ms. Crenshaw. How are you today?
Well, hello and thank you. You made me sound so good.
It was no exaggeration. I'm just stating the facts.
Well, thank you. Now, I feel really good today and I'm excited about this conversation.
Yes. So I'm excited too. So we've had an opportunity to get to know each other over this September will be about a year.
Yeah.
And over the time, I remember when I first saw you, I was like, who is that woman?
Was it the hair or was it the mouth?
It was just your presence, just you. Like the whole synergy of it. And I have really enjoyed seeing you share your wisdom online. So, I mean, how did you find your voice? How did you like get cool with being you?
Oh man, that's a loaded question. And so I would like to preface it with saying that unlike some people, like the confidence and the boldness mm-hmm. is something that was always there. As a child, I lacked tact. Mm-hmm. So I said the wrong things at the wrong time to adults, and my voice was stifled for a season in my life. And by the time I was a teenager, I was probably more of a rebel. Like, y'all can't tell me, you know, what right. I can or cannot say. And so life had me go through some things where I would police my voice. Mm-hmm. So in one season, I was like, wait a minute, you know, you're finally speaking out, but you're rough mm-hmm. and you're mean deliberately. Like I was consciously mean with my voice because I didn't like people telling me to shut up or to calm down. Because mm-hmm. even though the things I was saying lacked tact, I knew that they embodied truth. Right. And so when I said some hurtful things, damaged some relationships, then I went through the whole censorship and I quieted myself. I was like, I'm not supposed to speak. I'm going to be quiet. Then I went through a spiritual revelation and I felt like God was saying, I never wanted you to be quiet, but I definitely wanted there to be some compassion in your voice and so on and so mm-hmm. forth. And so I gradually went through this process where I began to speak more and going through life, being humbled by like being in an abusive relationship, living in a homeless shelter, being on welfare, food stamps, like going through different changes. Those experiences had me calm down. And then from there, I was like, you know what? It feels good to finally just have that woosah.
Right.
And to be able to start speaking. And so from there, I was like, you know what? I can do this. And I embodied the journey of finding my voice, learning my voice, and growing, and then opening up that opportunity for other people to just be themselves. So, and it's still a process.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it's something that has been a discovery ever since. I want to say that I was about, that was in 2000. So literally mm-hmm. just over two decades ago was when I mm-hmm. really began to work on embodying the inspiring and motivational side of right. my voice.
Right. I think, you know, what I've noticed about society now is that a lot of people are like, they're like super sensitive if you like, dare to take a mirror and put it in front of them. Like, you know, it just makes me want to know from your perspective on empathy, like what place does empathy have in business? I mean, at what point is empathy useful, and at what point are you enabling people to just stay stuck and stagnant?
So the first thing that I would say, because I got to address the opinionated piece of what you said first, mm-hmm. is that number one, if you have a mindset that there are only two truths, or I mean, basically one truth, it's either mm-hmm. mine or yours, then you're already flawed and you can't have empathy. Right. Because at the end of the day, there's actually always more than one truth. And mm-hmm. those two truths can be opposing and they can exist at the exact same time. Because truth is based on your maturity, it's based on your experiences and the reality that you're currently living. And right. if you can't embody that, then there's no way that you can be empathetic. But mm-hmm. being empathetic does not imply enabling. Mm-hmm. Empathy says that I'm literally energetically feeling you. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to give you space, to, just like you should be able to honor your feelings. Right. I'm going to honor what you're going through and what you're feeling, but right. I'm not going to allow you to sit in it. And so that's the fine line. You know, people are like, I'm an empath, I'm empathetic, and so on and so forth. Well, that just allows me to be able to say, I can be compassionate towards you, and I can understand where you're coming from, mm-hmm. but I can't allow you to sit in that. Right. Because that then turns into complacency. Right. And success does not reside in complacency. So anytime you are now requiring somebody to, even if they're inching their way there, mm-hmm. to become a better person, then you're enabling them to stay in that same place. Now, what those breakthroughs look like, they may not be leaps and bounds. Right. It could be something as simple as grimacing before mm-hmm. you cuss somebody out, even though you still cuss them out, because right, at least right. you had the conscience, you know. So we don't even know how to judge growth, because we often become the measuring stick. Our final, when we're satisfied with where we are, mm-hmm. people don't even realize that you become the measuring stick to say, well, I don't do this anymore, and I perform like this, so you should too. And that attacks your ability to be empathetic. So, right. you know, it's a lot that goes on in there. But in mm-hmm. order for you to truly be empathetic and want somebody to be a better person, mm-hmm. you have to be compassionate and at the same time basically edify their greatness. And if right. they don't want to walk towards that, then it's like, okay, well, then you can sit in your shit and right. you can either clean it up or you can get acclimated to the
right, right. So you have said so much that I just want to unpack. Okay. You know, this podcast is for, you know, entrepreneurs, business owners, CEOs, people who are looking to grow their business. Mm-hmm. And when you talk about, you know, just having that greater awareness mm-hmm. to really understand where another person is, to be able to motivate them, to find that spark for them to move forward, like how can you tap more into that insight, being able to be aware and see?
Ultimately, for me, what has worked is it has to do with being hyper aware about self. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of us, we're really not aware of who we are. We're not aware of what we do. And if you take a point of introspection and radical accountability for everything that happens around you, now you're looking at you. And that's what enables you then to look at people with a different looking glass. So if you, for instance, here's an example. There's a woman inside of one of my groups, and she's like, you know, I didn't really feel welcomed. And, you know, when I went inside of the group, you know, a lot of people didn't say anything to me. And I'm like, yeah, but when I put you in the group and I created your welcome video, you waited 2.5 weeks before you addressed the group. So what you received was mm-hmm. not the fact that nobody liked you, but when the excitement was there to bring you in, it's like walking in somebody's house and everybody says, hey, and you don't say anything. They'd be like, okay. And so I had to get her to see that her experience really wasn't what she said it was. It was actually what she created. Right. And so if I can get her to be hyper aware right. that she actually embodies an energy that mm-hmm. actually naturally rejects people, now when she sees people that naturally reject, she will know how to not invade their space, but still go out of her way to welcome them without feeling like it's a burden.
Right.
So you can't be empathetic without being hyper aware about who you are and how you come off to people. Mm-hmm. And so we don't necessarily want to know how we come off to people.
Right.
We just want to know what they're doing and whether or not they're standing in their power. And so when you think about it as a business owner, mm-hmm. you have to do two things. Your superpower is to be empathetic and see people where they are. Mm-hmm. And you got to be hyper in tune with how you're feeding that energy.
Right.
But then you also have to always see a greater version of them.
Right.
That's usually the piece that's missing. You just see what's wrong with them and you see how your product helps them.
Right.
And if you see what's wrong with them and how your product helps them, then that begins to diminish the empathy. But if I see what you're going through mm-hmm. and I see how my product helps you and I connect the dots with where you're going and mm-hmm. I see a vision of that, I'm excited about your future.
Right.
And if I'm excited about your future, then I'm not communicating the product and what the hell is wrong with you.
Right.
I'm communicating how the product is getting you to an expected end. Anybody that's listening to me, you're supposed to be communicating the transformation.
Right.
That's all
I'm
saying. Uh-huh. But all of this is about relationship skills. It's not marketing gimmicks.
Right.
It's built. It's rooted in relationships.
Emotional intelligence.
I'm
listening to you, and I have so many things I want to delve into. So let's go back to when you're talking about, you know, as you grow and as you progress, you become your own measuring stick.
Oh yeah.
You know, I've been acutely aware of this, for some time, and I created a video in the fall last year where I talk about how my team loves a challenge and we don't say things can't be done if we haven't done it before in the realm of what we do, mm-hmm. but we figure out how to execute it. So how do you as a business owner, as an entrepreneur, as a professional, learn to be comfortable in your outside of your comfort zone? How do you learn how to say, yeah, I've grown, but yet I still have more to go, and, you know, being able to operate with that reality?
Oh, yeah. So you know what's so funny, right, is with the whole thing about being comfortable outside of your comfort zone, the most successful entrepreneurs, that's the lifestyle that you live, right?
Right.
The ones that are stuck still and stagnant is because they're trying to stay comfortable and not grow. And so what it really boils down to is perspective,
mm-hmm.
because your perspective either looks at what you're going through as like some evil entity, negative energy, the devil, or somebody trying to block your path. But when you have perspective, you have this view of becoming and growing, and it's just a natural recurring positive type of resistance. So
right.
for me, when I see opposition,
mm-hmm.
I get turned on, because right. then for me, this says, okay, the divine sees me as worthy
mm-hmm.
to be able to take on this task.
Right.
I get to stay introspective, analyze how I'm feeling, believe the possibilities, move towards the possibilities, and then I'm the person that conquers it. I have hyper awareness. Now I can take that thing in which I've gained and transfer it to other people. So if you're naturally accustomed to and inclined to like opposition, then
mm-hmm.
you're going to be the person that continues to bust through hurdles and to
right.
be less judgmental.
Right.
And if you don't mind, can I explain what I mean just a little bit more detail
about
the measuring stick? Now, unfortunately, I'm not bashing anybody and not putting any religious beliefs or anything like that on anybody, but I would like to use Christianity as my point of reference. So, for instance, when I got saved, you
mm-hmm.
know, there was this huddle of us that were the Mary to save women.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when a sister might come into the church in the fold and she gives her life to Christ, she's on there crying, you pray and you believe in God going to turn things around for her. She going to get that job, get that rent paid, whatever it is, right?
Right.
And let's just say 2 or 3 months later, she's at the altar again and she's crying. Then all of a sudden, it's kind of like, well, you know, God ain't going to bless you because you're still shacking up. There automatically, see, I can stand in pride and be like, yeah, you know, I'm blessed in this area
mm-hmm.
of my life because I got that piece of sin out of my life. That's what I mean by being the measuring stick.
Right.
So now you have these standards by which people should live their lives. And it still goes into business and everything, how you're
right.
supposed to show up, what you're supposed to do, right?
And that's what Jesus was talking to the Pharisees about, because they had this certain measuring stick.
Exactly.
They were looking at everybody else there, but Jesus was like, yo, you still got a way to go, and they weren't hearing
it. And they weren't hearing it at all. And
right.
so what ends up happening is the church then doesn't celebrate that sister, but this is what they don't know. Is that maybe she grew up in the hood and her brothers were gangbangers. And she used to be the type of person that smoke a mofo and admit it.
Right.
But now, you know, after a few years of losing some people, now she just cussed them out.
Right. But then now time passes and she like, she don't cuss them out, but she sure got that rage in them and she could. And then she gets to the point where she's like, you know what, I'm just getting too grown for this stuff. I don't have time for this fight anymore. And so you don't even know that side of her journey. So you can't even celebrate the fact that she's metamorphosed. The only thing that you can do is have a level of judgment on her based on where you are in your business without knowing her journey and her story. Wow. And you're right. Just like with Jesus, he perfectly displayed that when he said, okay, the Pharisees in the temple praying with his head up and like, yeah, look at me, I paid my tithes. Right. And the woman with the one mite was in there praying like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. This is all I had. He said, who gave the greater gift? He did not say the one that executed according to the standard. He said the one that executed with the heart and the willing spirit. Right. So we can't be the judgment stick in business or in life. I mean, the measuring stick in business or in life for other people, because ultimately, now let's connect the dots to what I just said. That means then that you are staying in a place of comfort.
Right.
Because the only way you can feel good about where you are and not deal with the discomfort of your lack of growth is to look at where somebody else is not fucking growing.
Right.
So it all comes, so back again, it goes back to my thing about radical introspection. Oh,
that's good. That's good. You know, I find a lot of people, they're only happy if they're around people who aren't doing as well as them.
And they don't even necessarily even realize that.
Right.
They think they're God's gifts to people.
I mean, I feel like the baby in the bunch on this retreat. Y'all, you know, from a business perspective, but I'm getting comfortable with being uncomfortable. But I wanted to ask you, because you're such a phenomenal listener, how did you cultivate that skill set?
from you know what? From being very upset with the fact that I always felt misunderstood. You know, everything you have to flip it around to a positive. So there was a season in my life where I couldn't say anything without a disclaimer. I always had to explain why I was saying what I was saying, and then I would get upset because you still heard the side of what you didn't like what I said, and having to explain myself. And I'm like, you're not listening to me.
Right.
And once again, taking it and being like, but are you a good listener? You know, what does it look like? Are you hearing what they're saying? So for me, knowing what it means to hear, knowing the difference between hearing versus listening, I went through it too much with people not listening to me. So I am very attentive. And so people just say the most random things to me. And I'd be like, did you hear what you just said? Like, no, pause. Like, don't even say anything else. And so, you know, I love business coaching and I do teach strategy. I equip women with powerful sales skills. But more than anything, I dig into the mindset. And I can always tell what you ain't saying by what you did say.
Right.
And so for me, I'm hyper attuned to everything I hear, because you have to be as a coach, because the natural mechanism inside of us is to give proper presentation. It's like a person coming to me and I say, hey, at their session, how's business going? Oh yeah, business is going good. And so for me, I don't stop there. I'd be like, okay, so what was your revenue? Did your client, your roster grow? Did you lose some clients? And they'd be like, well, now, you know, December is my slow month. And automatically we get to start peeling back the layers. And it's like, well, you know, so I didn't get as many sales or such and such. Okay, but when I asked you how business was going.
You said good.
Right. Because it's about the proper presentation. So part of effective listening also has to do with effective question asking. You have to do a proper inquisition in order to be able to fill in the gaps of what you didn't hear, so that you don't go down the realm of assumption. But the short version is that being misunderstood and feeling unheard made me want to make sure that I always heard what everybody was saying. And then when I graduated and got more into the mentoring realm, and this was before I started coaching, it was like, yeah, let's turn it up a notch and also get to what isn't being said.
Oh, wow. That's phenomenal. So, listening. Listening to what isn't being said.
Yes.
All right, Miss August. All right.
Well, it's like the conversation that we had downstairs.
Right.
And it still took a second for her to understand that I was telling her that the way she led that conversation, she led with what she believed was important. Mm-hmm. She justified the decision
mm-hmm. after I basically called her out on her shit. Mm-hmm. And then I still had to reiterate to her, but that's you.
Right.
What you didn't say was this.
Right.
And that's a root in you.
Right.
And what you are displaying is going to manifest back in you. And you think that you're making it, you know, making a decision just to make sure your audience is like, wait a minute, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? Bottom line is when we're in business, we do launches. And then when things don't go the way we want to go, like, oh, right, the launch wasn't right. that, you know, that good.
Right.
And when you want to shift gears and you don't want to do what you were supposed to do,
right.
it's because you have this money mindset root.
Right.
But then you'll try to justify it and say, well, I'm doing something different in my business. But if you don't understand your money mindset root, no matter what the hell you do in your business,
right.
it's never really going to satisfy you.
So I want to go back to something you said about the wins.
Okay.
Where you talked about that sister
uh-huh.
who people were like, oh, she's... This is just an example you gave. Oh, she's shacking up, but she's no longer homicidal and she deals with conflict and other things mm-hmm. in a less violent manner.
Yeah.
Like, people don't see that gross.
Yeah.
So I want to know from you, how do we become more grateful and more aware of our wins and celebrate them?
No. Well, first of all, it's literally just saying, okay, well, that was good. Without giving it a label of mm-hmm. big, medium, you know, or small.
Right.
A win is a win.
True.
And so, like, first of all, think about this. If you're approaching your business with CEO mentality, you have a big lofty goal, right?
Correct.
But then you take that goal and you have to dissect it. You
right.
have timelines. You have to give it steps.
Right.
And so what we have a tendency to do is we can go from what we've started
mm-hmm.
to what we expect. And if the only thing you can look at is from where you, what you expect.
What you started to what you expect,
then
you negate
everything that's in the middle.
Right.
But where does that mentality come from? I think one of the most powerful books that I ever read was The Power of Now,
mm-hmm.
where it talks about not appreciating the present moment.
Mm.
So if I'm right here right now and I mm-hmm. hate writing copy, but I have written out 6 of the emails that go into my funnel sequence,
right,
then I'm celebrating the fact
right now
I did it,
right?
But if I am stuck on the past, I don't want to go back to that BS job that I had, or this didn't work the way that I wanted it to work, then I'm anxious to get to the future. Of, I don't care about the email sequence. I'm only caring about the person that clicked the link and paid. You can't celebrate because you're in the past
right.
or you're in the future. And so when you are very aware of what's going on,
mm-hmm.
you celebrate everything.
Right.
And I'll give
right.
you an example. Last year, I was at that milestone right before. I was like, this is the year, you know, where I'm going to slaughter, you know, 6 figures.
Right.
Had a great business, making good money for me, but definitely
right.
wanted to go past 6 figures. And so a woman that mentored me through Infusionsoft back in 2016,
right.
I signed up for Infusionsoft, didn't have a list. That's a whole other story. But the woman that helped me like build out my funnels and strategy, she was really phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, I just loved your energy. And
mm-hmm.
so she reached out to me in 2021. She's like,
mm-hmm.
I've been following you and I just wanted to say, reach out and say hi. And I love what you're doing. And she says, can I pour into you? Because you always pour into other people. And
mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, yes. Just off of the strength of what she did for me years ago. Had no idea what she did, what it was that she was currently doing. So she's like, yeah, you know, I work with this company and we help 7-figure earners become 8-figure earners. And so I want to talk to you about you being aware of what millionaire behavior looks like. And so she's giving me strategies for my emails, talking to me about
mm-hmm.
my mindset, what my quarterly reviews look like. And this is all at the top. This is before I even signed up to be in the coaching program.
Right.
But when that happened, just that conversation, I knew I wasn't getting ready to make $1 million after or go to 8 figures after the call.
Right.
But in that moment, I told my husband, I said, 7 figures, here I come. You know what I'm saying? Because for me, that was God foreshadowing.
Right.
This
right,
is
right.
on your heart and this is what you want. Matter of fact, no, I'm able to give exceedingly and abundantly above anything that you can think of. Ask, you're so busy worrying about hitting 7 figures. I'm going to bring someone to mentor you that helps
right.
people go from 7 to 8. I didn't get any sales from it. I got awareness.
I got encouragement. I got someone to pour into me. All of these things are extremely valuable. Right. But I'm not focused on hitting seven figures. I'm focused on that moment. And that felt good to me. That's the encouragement. Mm-hmm. That's what allows me to go on the journey and be like, I'm embodying this bitch because it's happening.
Right.
It's not coming. It's happening. That's a completely different mindset. That's the staying power. And that doesn't make a difference whether it's for your career, your business, or whatever. Mm-hmm. There are always things that are happening to let you know you're on the right path and you're on your way.
That's awesome. So my next question that I've been wanting to ask you, I've been playing this mental double dutch. I'm like listening to you, but I'm also like mentally like writing down my questions. So my next question that I've been wanting to ask you for probably the past 20 minutes is, why is mindset so important?
Because that's where the power lies.
Because, you know, I got to tell you that, you know, I think the first book on mindset I ever got exposed to was T. Harv Eker's book,
okay,
The Millionaire Mindset. And I was reading it, and I didn't even read the whole thing. I that's why I said exposed to.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. Now I see the value. Mm-hmm. But I want to know from you, like why does the power reside there? Why is mindset so important?
So number one, I will attribute my spiritual roots to ingraining the power of mindset in me. Mm-hmm. But your mindset, it is mental, but it's also spiritual. Mm-hmm. It is the ultimate synergy. So when people say, oh, it's their mindset, you have to understand that mindset is directly connected to spirit. And so while I am more open spiritually, I still have a lot of biblical references because I was raised in a church. Right. In order for you to get to your next level, it was not just to confess that you believed in Jesus. You had to let this mind be in you. That's also
in Christ Jesus. Yes, I know
that
word.
Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Yep.
As a man thinketh, he is. I am able to give to you exceedingly abundantly above all you think or ask for. And so for me, I'm like, everything goes back to thinking. And mm-hmm. so, and on the opposite end of the spectrum, I remember reading the scripture in the Bible where I'm not quoting it correctly, but people that are biblical will understand. There was one scripture in the Bible that says that basically if a man thinks something is a sin, even though it's not a sin, because he thinks it's a sin, if he does it, then he's sinning against God. And I'm like, your mind dictates everything. It creates your reality. So even something that is not a sin and that is not harmful to you, you have caused it to be a detriment to your life. So whatever it is that I fathom, whatever it is that I believe, also has to be connected to my spirit. And that dictates the way that I move, and the way that I move in harmony with God's expectation that then impacts whatever it is that I create in my life. So if your mindset keeps on saying things that are contradictory or counterproductive to your goals, then you're going to have a hard-ass time getting there. And you're going to have an even more difficult time enjoying the journey. So the transforming the way we think, it's important. And most of us, without disrespect to our parents and our communities and mm-hmm. our social and spiritual structures, they right. didn't really teach us to appreciate our minds. They're so busy trying to protect us, tell us how to think, where to go, when to breathe, what to do in order to be successful, protect
right,
your
right,
life.
Right.
We don't even realize that we don't even have control or access to our mind. We're just running around here like a bunch of subconscious robots. So right. you have to constantly feed the mind and right. retrain it and unlearn and relearn because you're in control. All I just said in a short sentence is mindset is critical because you're in control. If mindset is not at the root of what you do and you're not in control, that means you're a victim of circumstance. We know you don't get shit if you have a victim mentality.
Right.
What's happening to me is not because of the world. It's not because of the algorithm. It's not because of the corporate structures. It's not because of racism. It's not because of sexism. It is because of how I think.
Right.
And the way I see stuff then changes the entire game. That's where your power lies. And because think about it. If Google was the answer, we'd all be millionaires. It's not strategy.
Mm-hmm.
It's us.
Right.
That's your secret power.
Right.
hope that answered your question.
It does. I think, for a lot of my listeners, you know, they're raised in the church. They know those scriptures mm-hmm. that you recited, that you referenced. And, you know, we know this stuff.
Yeah.
But why is it so hard for us to consciously make those connections and connect those dots?
So this is where I get in trouble with my church folk. Whether they meant to do it or not, is because I got a saying. I said, church will give you enough hope to start and enough condemnation not to finish.
Mm.
And so we have a very sin-conscious spiritual society. And that doesn't mean that I'm saying that everybody should just be able to go around and do whatever it is that you want to do. But all I'm just saying is this. In the book of James, it says that when you hear the word, you do the word. Because if you hear the word and you don't do the word, you're like a man that looked in the mirror. And when you walk away, you forgot the image that you beheld.
Right.
Hyper introspection. But in the church, you read the scriptures and then you judge and bash the sister because you see the sin of her shacking up and you put the limitations on her and where she can go. But you have to understand that that's a mirror of yourself. So then you also put the limitations on you.
Right.
And we will read the scriptures that say that we're saved by grace. But the only thing we see is salvation and grace in the future. Think about it. Most of us as entrepreneurs say, I want to leave a legacy. I don't say that. I say I am living a legacy. Because what good does it do you to create a legacy and leave it, but didn't show your children how to live it, so they're going to go through the legacy that you left them, the monetary portion of it, and they're going to squander the funds because they have no idea wow. what they have access to. Wow. And so when you say the prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done
on earth.
As it is in heaven,
right.
you realize that heaven can't be the ultimate goal. So if you are here and heaven is the ultimate end goal, that means that you don't appreciate everything in between. It's still all of the same stuff right. that we just said. So you see yourself now, you see yourself in heaven, you can't celebrate the small wins, so you can't even see that you're growing. And just like the sister with the milestones of being homicidal to at least maybe not practicing conflict resolution, but not putting a cap in you, not pushing you, not
right.
We can't see the growth. And so your spirit, remember I said that the mindset is connected to spirit, and where there's mm-hmm. that disconnect, then you lose the ability to move forward. So when the scripture says that there is therefore no condemnation to those who walk after the spirit and not after the flesh, that is not about walking after sin or not after sin. That is about you walking after purpose. That is about you going towards the things that God would have you to do so that your flesh can die daily, so that gradually you can become a better person and you're covered with that grace from now into heaven so that you can celebrate. But right, you will hear business owners say things like, I did that launch. Oh, and when it doesn't go right. I've heard them say things like, I don't know, but maybe this is what God had for me right now. No, boo-boo, it's very practical. Your marketing skills are just awful. You need the SEO queen to get your Google stats up so you can be on the front page. It's not that God is not with you. You right. have to view the opposition as the opportunity to grow and be hyper-attuned so that you can do your introspection, so that you can become a natural problem solver, so that you can go to the next level and embody the journey. And all of this is connected, and it has to be the new way that you think. And right. so if your spirit is not attuned with the fact that you are made in the image and likeness of God, then you'll just be a person who's retained a bunch of scriptures. You mm-hmm. haven't transformed your mind. You just have a bunch of knowledge and information here. But even in the beginning of the Bible, it says that God spoke and the spirit moved. I mean, the spirit moved and God spoke and then there was. Go mm-hmm. back and read Genesis.
Right.
So
right.
if your spirit ain't moved and you still speaking, those two aren't coupled and you right. ain't manifested.
Right.
So we have to encourage the spirit of people. The Bible says you're supposed to edify and exhort one another daily. So when you have a spirit of if you can exhort yourself, because mm-hmm. you can't exhort nobody if you can't exhort yourself.
Right.
You
right,
got to
right.
exhort you so that you can exhort others, so that you can have the staying power and have the expectation for abundance here as it is in heaven. Because the scripture said, in my Father's house, there are
many mansions
there. The streets are paved with gold. So why is it wrong for me to own a thousand hills? So why can't I
right.
expect abundance here as it is in heaven. So our expectation often is not here. We're so worried about our soul instead of the growth of it on the journey. Mm-hmm. We're just looking at the end result. So we're not in the present. We're in the future.
Shame on us.
Shame, shame, shame.
Shame on us for dwelling on the past and pining for the future. Mm-hmm. When we should be right here in the now.
Right now.
So normally I ask, what are three tips? But you just dropped so many nuggets, and my listeners need to roll this whole episode back and write down those nuggets, because I'm not going to spell them out for you. Not today. Because my final question for you.
Oh, Lord.
I want to know, what does this word mean to you? To walk by faith and not by sight. I want to hear what you have to say about that word. Because that's like my go-to when I feel a little, when things get a little rocky. I say, you know what, Lord, I'm going to walk by faith and not by sight.
Okay. So what does the scripture say in Hebrews 11 and 1? It faith says it's the substance of things hoped for
and the evidence of things not seen.
And most people trip off of two words, the things hoped for and the things not seen.
Mm-hmm.
No. Now, so I'm going to say the scripture again with the emphasis.
Okay.
Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen.
Right.
Change the emphasis. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is an action word. Mm-hmm. It's the substance and the evidence. So you can't tell me that you have faith if your journey has no substance and no evidence. Not the manifestation of what you desire, but how you live your life, how you walk out. So you can't tell God, I'm a move by faith. People usually say that, and that means I'm moving by faith to wait on you to do something. Like, what else do I have to do for you other than give you breath of life and purpose and the vision and everything else that I put in your path? There's nothing else for God to do without your execution. James said, show me your faith and I'll show you my works. So when you say that you're going to walk by faith.
A man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you my faith by my works. James 2:18.
There, look at it. There you go. So August gave you the Cliff Notes version of that scripture.
Right.
But that's ultimately what it means. So at the end of the day, if you don't do that, if you don't do that, whatever that is, those things, you don't have any faith. Right. So when I say that I know that I'm going to grow my email list to X amount of size, whether I'm doing it organically or whether I'm doing it paid, then that means that I'm going to show up. And every time I do a live video, I'm not going to be like, it feels weird to do a call to action. No, because I have faith that people are going to sign up. So I'm going to say the call to action. I'm going to show up faithfully. I'm going to put the links on, you know, on my posts when I put them out there.
Right.
Faith is what you're doing to show the substance or the evidence for the expectation.
Right.
That's faith. Without it,
that's awesome.
There is no faith.
Yeah, without faith, it's impossible to please God and to be a successful business owner.
Yeah, so it's like, this is no different than love. If somebody says, I love you, you'll say, what? Show me.
And right.
God is saying, you have faith?
Show me.
Yeah, that's it. Because I've done so much for you. Go ahead and take a journey down your life.
You know, it's so true. Like, you have life, health, and strength. And then you still asking God for a sign or... Like, nah, boo, you need to ask the right questions. Mm. Listen intently and keep it moving.
And that right there is the one thing that most of us don't do. I learned years ago, oh God, it was the early 2000s when I began my journey, that I used to be a praying person. Pray, 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 pray. And it dawned on me that prayer is my conversation to God. But meditation is me listening. So part of my success lies in the fact you said I'm a good listener. Well, I listen very good when it comes to listening to God. So people know me as being highly, I say I'm highly intuitive. But being highly intuitive just means that I hear God.
That's awesome.
That's it.
That's awesome. Well, y'all, you don't have to leave. You can listen to the next episode You can start this episode and run it back, but we're going to go now.
I appreciate you.
Thank you so much, August Crenshaw, for coming onto my show. It has been a delight and a pleasure.
Thank you.
Hearing your insight and wisdom.
Girl, you got me riled up. Look, if they could see me, I was sitting back in the chair.
Yeah, you sitting straight up now.
Because this gets me excited. And yeah. I pray your listeners, they grow, you know, from everything that
absolutely.
They
absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. So I'm like really excited about to hear from you guys on this episode. There's a feedback button on the app. If you're listening on the Bashani Radio app, you can always give a shout out to August Crenshaw. How can they connect with you?
All things August Crenshaw. That's August with an E, AUGUSTE. But when you say connect, I just want to emphasize the fact that I am very approachable. So I'm predominantly on Facebook. You know, I know a lot mm-hmm. of people leave, just go to my work with me. But no, if you want to connect with me and you want to get a chance to know me and hear me more, if you Google me, AUGUSTE, Crenshaw, all things mm-hmm. are going to come up. My website, my social media, and all of those things. And then just send me a friend request. I would say this, please, even if you don't do anything, say I heard you on the podcast. I get spammed a lot, but connect with me like that. Mm-hmm. And if you're thinking further than that, then yeah, you can go to workwithaugust.com if you're looking at it from a professional perspective. Right. But just to connect, just hit me on Facebook.
Okay, excellent. So you've been listening to the SEO Queen Tech Show. We are a podcast that helps you get more credibility, visibility, and profitability through inspiration, technology, and marketing insight. This podcast is for professionals and entrepreneurs who are looking to get more customers, clients, and patients. We are broadcast on Bashani Radio, iHeartRadio, and iTunes. Bashani Radio, always talking about everything from New York City. As I mentioned before, you can listen to this podcast on any mobile phone or tablet device. You can download the Bashani Radio app and tap in there as well. Also, as a thank you gift for listening, you can always go to SEOQueen.com and book a complimentary strategy session. Go to SEOQueen.com and book a Reach More Clients Power session. And I also would be remiss if I didn't mention that we have our conference in person on July 23rd, 2022 at the beautiful Long Beach Hilton Hotel on Ocean Boulevard, downtown Long Beach, right across the street from the shoreline, right there on the beach. It's a 10-15 minute walk. And you can go to SEOQueen.com and click on conference for more details about that. But I just want to say thank you so much for listening. Thank you again, Miss August Crenshaw, for being here. And until next time.
It's time to grow with the SEO Queen. Get visibility like never before. When traffic's gonna explode, it's time to grow with the SEO Queen. Receive the perfect leads like never before. No traffic's gonna explode. It's time to grow.
Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.